Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Mummy, Sybil Brunson, and I'm coming to you right now with my own live podcast called Come Now, Don't Sulk. It's part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. I am thrilled to be here tonight on the first Monday of May in 2021. And I'm here right now with my producer, my muse, my fabulous podcast pal. I couldn't do this without her. Would you please put your hands together right now in the privacy of your own dining rooms or your bedrooms or your backyards, wherever you are, please give a big round of applause to Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, our producer. I'm holding
Thank
for the
you.
Applause. I know the applause is roaring right now, so I'm just waiting until the applause dies down just a little bit. And
Thank
we
you,
are
Mommy.
Sponsored. Yes. See how gracious she is, and yet modest. She isn't bragging. She's nothing like that. And I want to also acknowledge our wonderful sponsor and the company that Gwendolyn Holden-Berry founded, DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com. And you can check out their website during our show tonight, The Fragrant Memories of Our Ancestors. We're brought to you by them every week and by listeners. Like you, thank you. And by the way, before we get any farther, because I was scolded soundly by some listeners last week, our phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 323-784-9639. I'll repeat it so you can get your Crayola crayon out and write it down. 323-784-9639. Call in and join us. We are podcasting to you live right now. Imagine all over the world. We are literally being listened to right now, not only live in Europe, where it's actually kind of late at night, and we appreciate you late night listeners, but all the way across into Asia. We have a huge following in Australia. So we're in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, we're in the Eastern Hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere. We have listeners all over, and we're grateful to each and every one of you that tune in every week. And we encourage you to call in, provided your phone bill doesn't go through the roof. Gwendolyn, how are you tonight?
Well, I had a wonderful 30-year anniversary sale of the Daughters of Isis, which is still going until midnight tonight, 20% off everything. And I offered it to my all of my customers, wholesale retail. And I have to say, I had a very lucrative day today. So I'm
happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. It's May, and every week we ask you what's a fragrance that you suggest we should do. Now, I don't know what's going on astrologically right now or astronomically right now, but is there a fragrance that would be good for this beginning of May that would be a lovely fragrance for us to select? You know, by the way, I just want to remind our home audience, those of you that have never tuned in before, DaughtersOfIsis.com has over 500 products, and they are a house that specializes in essential oils, fragrances, personal fragrances, all sorts of things to expand your sensuality, your sexuality, your psychology, your metaphysicality, everything about you. So, Gwendolyn, what's a fragrance we should be looking at tonight when we go on DaughtersOfIsis.com?
Well, I'm going to suggest one for the beginning, for high spring and the beginning of summer because of all the greening that we see going on out there. It's beautiful to get back to nature when you've spent so much time indoors. And the one fragrance, well, actually there's a pair of them, but I'm going to go with the Green Man, which is a mist and an oil. And it's just a wonderful combination of green scents, including parsley and fennel and mugwort, which is an artemisia, oregano, mint. And I have a very special blend from France of essential oils that smells like green apples and spruce, and there's a bit of oak moss and loamy patchouli in it. It's very, it's nature exploding. It's the green, the greening. And the other one that goes with it is our Nature Mother Mist or oil. And it's a very, very grounding scent. it's a juniper berry with sage and pinion, pine. It's got petitgrain and a dark copal essential oil that comes out of Mexico and South America, and Ravensara. And
that sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful.
It also has a drop of eucalyptus, blue eucalyptus from Australia in it. And it just brings it right up. And
what's the name of that again? Repeat the name for people so they can look for it.
Nature Mother Oil.
Great.
And Green Man. It's
great.
Under the sacred sites.
Okay. Great. Nature Mother, but Green Man also, the two fragrances. And they, so you would suggest that they use them either together, or they suggest you use them, you would have them one day and one the other day?
I think that basically it's up to the nose, you know? I think some people will prefer to, will prefer to work with the Green Man some days, and then other days they are looking for further grounding into Gaia, and they'll the Nature Mother, because that's
wonderful.
Very deep grounding.
Well, some of the oils that you were using in both of them were just amazing. Oh my God, I just very nice, and I love the eucalyptus being just like a whisper in there that you might not even be able to put your finger on, but it would lift it. I can see how it would brighten it and lift it. That's lovely, lovely.
Okay.
Folks, remember to during our show tonight, go on daughtersofisis.com and check out all their fragrances and their products. Gwendolyn spends hours every day at her bench conjuring and chemistrying, and she's quite amazing. So do partake of her wonderful, wonderful talent. That's great. Is there anything, before we get into some subjects tonight, I want to remind people to call in 323-784-9639. Folks, don't private message Mummy. I get all these messages on my Facebook page, my little private message. Oh, Mummy, could you please just call in and chat with us? Don't be afraid. Is there anything astrologically? I know that Mercury's not in retrograde right now, but is there anything that we should know about astrologically? Is there anything scary or wonderful going on that we should know about?
Well, today has been an interesting day. I can give you daily accuracy. Today has been, the weather out there is social interactions have been emotionally charged for a few days, but today they sort of are there. It's also a day of decisions and choices that are being made by the emotional basis. And feminine energy and feminine issues are really taking the wind right now. Any kind of public events are liable to cause, you know, some real emotional interaction between, you know, the community. As far as specific astrological this week, it's the end of the first week of May, and really everything is pretty, what we're doing is we're still coming out of that full pink Scorpion moon that's asked us to go deeply within. So emotional issues are going on this week, but the up part of it all is that we're making choices right now and decisions that are going to have lasting effects in our lives for a while. So
take
things seriously. Take things seriously.
Apropos of that. Thank you. Apropos of that. And I'm, by the way, I want to remind our listeners, we're open to discuss anything. But if we don't have somebody calling in saying, do you know a recipe for strudel? Or do you have some hint for tulip bulbs after they've gone by? If we don't have people calling in for that, I'm going to just broach a subject and then we can either discuss it or we can change the subject, because it's like, come now, don't sulk, is non-denominational. We're anything goes here. The subject I'm going to address tonight to open with, and I invite Gwendolyn, of course, to respond in our wonderful badminton game of conversation, and anyone else who calls in. I love calling it good news, bad news. All right, so I'm going to start with the bad news. The bad news is that Anthony Fauci, and indeed everyone, the CDC, all the experts, are saying that the United States, the so-called most – I hate when people say, well, you know, we Americans, we're in the most powerful country in the world. We're the wealthiest, most involved country in the world. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, my God. There's nothing worse than having some big, you know, kid in high school who's the football captain saying that he's the center of the universe. And that's basically what happens here. So anyway, this country, according to all the experts – internationally, will not reach herd immunity. It is impossible for us to reach herd immunity. Now, the COVID crisis is a year old, right? And a year ago, partly because we had a walking, talking orange turd in the White House, surrounded by friends and family who were turdlings, we didn't even have acknowledgement of the reality of the COVID crisis. It was continuing to be called a hoax, a fantasy, hysteria, mass hysteria on the part of the liberal wing of the country. Everything, it was, once it was real, once it was acknowledged as being real, it was manufactured by Bill Gates or God knows who, or Nancy Pelosi had cooked it up in her kitchen, you know, or whatever. So a year ago, we had that. And once people really acknowledged it, the thought that we would have a vaccine in any time foreseeable was considered to be pipe dreaming. That was just, there was no way that that could possibly happen. We are in a situation right now in this country where we not only managed with other people to make a vaccine and manufacture it, we are now in a situation where we are throwing them away. We are throwing away thousands and thousands of vaccinations every day because people aren't showing up to get them for free. We even have people who are spending money and donating rides for people who are not easily accessible to the vaccine. So now we have people in the Ozarks who can call up and get a ride and get the vaccine, or a vehicle will come to them and bring the vaccine to them. We are now doing meals on wheels for vaccines around the country. We are doing that. And we have thousands, millions of people refusing to get them still, and we have millions of vaccines that are being thrown away every day. Is there any country more wasteful, more arrogant, more full of hubris, more full of willful, stubborn, I can because I can because I can ignorance than the United States? Is there any country that would take its bounty and its brains and flush it down the toilet more than this damned, damned country? Damned.
What?
And I can only assume that if there is a god or a goddess with any consciousness at all, that is not looking at this country and saying, that's it, I'm finished. I'm finished. This is an experiment that has failed, failed, failed. This is an experiment that is damned and deserves none of my grace. None of my grace. It is inexcusable that this is going on. And that we have experts now saying that we will never, ever reach herd immunity because we have so much of the country unwilling to get that fucking vaccine. It's inexcusable. So that means that all of us that got the vaccine, the double, the Johnson & Johnson or the Pfizer, whatever we got, we are surrounded by people who are refusing to get the vaccine for whatever the stupid reasons are. Okay, now, this is the other thing. And then I'm going to let you can say your piece.
Well, we have,
so we have millions
waiting.
Of people. Okay, well, I'm going to finish my thought before we – so I welcome the caller in. That's great. Welcome, caller, and we'll get to you in 1 second. So two things. First of all, we who've gotten the vaccine must hope that we are protected, and I'm still wearing masks, and, you know, George is, and we're still eating outdoors. We're not eating indoors yet, and we're wearing masks until we sit down, and then we're always in fresh air. We make sure that we're, you know, eating outdoors. So if it's pouring, it had better be a outdoor tent that is very big and airport-like. You know, it has to be like an airport hangar because George has no desire to eat with people. We're seeing here in Pennsylvania that restaurants are opening left and right. Everything is opening up everywhere. People are sitting indoors, and now people are even in certain restaurants are beginning to pack the tables in again and not observe the half vacancy that they should be. Okay. The problem for people like Gwendolyn and me, home audience, is that we've been vaccinated. Okay, so now we can feel fairly confident that our vaccines will protect us probably against all sorts of things, and especially if we observe some care, like wearing masks and not, you know, and we're still practicing social distancing, you know, inside a grocery store or in a drugstore. Okay, but having said that, the heartbreak for people like us is that the harsh reality is that people who have not been vaccinated are walking petri dishes. They are literally a bunch of they're just a bunch of germs. And what will happen is COVID, like all living things, will mutate and evolve. It will, and it's just that bacteria and viruses evolve quickly. They rebirth all the time. So they can adapt. They can adapt. They can adapt. Complex animals in the world or complex plants don't evolve overnight. But bacteria, viruses can evolve and change and mutate quickly. So that means that the COVID-19 virus can adjust itself and can, you know, have cousins and nephews and nieces and uncles and aunts and all of that. There can be a new strain, you know, in South Africa. There could be a new strain in Akron, Ohio. Those new strains are going to run rampant in the people who are not vaccinated. So that means that people like Gwendolyn and me, who are vaccinated, must hope, fingers crossed, that our vaccine is going to cover a wide spectrum of the virus, and that our vaccine will cover Cousin Ned, and it will cover Uncle Herbert, and it will cover Aunt Delia of the viruses, and it will mostly protect us and trigger, and of course, in 6 months, if we're told to get booster shots, we will, and with any luck, Pfizer and whoever will get, will adjust the vaccines accordingly. But it's very distressing, as you can imagine, to have anti-vaxxers and QAnon, you know, idiots blundering around, going through all of this hysteria and this denial of getting the vaccine. We have famous stars. John Legend is doing commercials at his own expense to get Black Americans, African Americans, to get the vaccine. It's like, come on. We have white QAnon people who are refusing to get the vaccine because they believe the earth is flat and the Pope is dead and has been assassinated now for a year, and they're using a marionette or whatever. Who knows what these people are about? I do think it's interesting, though, that we have it across racial bounds. There are black people, there are white people, there are Hispanic people. We have straight, we have gay, we have tall, we have short. We have Olympic athletes, we have paraplegics. It's like, talk about non-denominational. The stupidity is everywhere. And I'm sorry if someone is thinking that I'm a racist because I included black people in it, or I'm homophobic because I included, you know, gays and lesbians. I'm sorry. I'm telling you that I am an equal opportunity hater. I'm an equal opportunity. Whatever color you are, whatever persuasion you are, I am an equal opportunity bigot, because the thing I cannot stand is willful, proud stupidity. I will not tolerate that. I don't care what color it is. So if you want to call me a bigot, just get the story straight, because you can say Sybil Brunson's a big bigot. Oh, really? I didn't know that. What is she bigoted against? Well, she says she's bigoted against willfully stupid people. Oh, yeah, that is a problem. Yeah, you hate her guts for that? I hate her guts because she hates willfully stupid people. Okay, well, Stacey, thanks for letting me know. Okay, I'm going to run now. Bye. I mean, it's like I will not tolerate people who continue to endanger the world by thinking the earth is flat. I don't care if it's about measles. I don't care what it is. This is inexcusable. Throwing away millions of vaccines in a year that we thought we would never see a vaccine. People figured you would just survive this or not. And that's the reality. Americans have the shortest memories in the fucking world. A year ago, people were saying we don't know anything about this yet, and what we do know indicates that the way to survive it is to wear a mask, to social distance. And by the way, a year ago right now, I was married to someone who was confined to the house, who did not leave the house for 3 months. I was the one who went out and shopped and did, because my spouse was adhering to the advice that people should not leave the house. Some of my best friends never left their homes. Barely do now. I had friends who were in their houses for six months. I'm sorry.
I stayed in for a year, and I'm really careful when I go out, you know?
So everything was delivered to your house. You had your groceries delivered and everything?
Oh, it still is. Today I had to lug groceries from the front porch into the kitchen.
So folks, there it is. And I'm not criticizing Gwendolyn at all. What I'm saying is that a year later, there are people who still are observing social distancing to the point where they're not leaving their homes. They have people come up to their house. And, you know, I still am wiping my groceries down with Clorox wipes. When we go shopping, I bring the groceries in, I put them on the counter, I wipe the counter down with Clorox wipes. Then I begin taking objects out onto the counter, and I wipe the entire surface, the three-dimensional surface of whatever it is, and put it on the sterile part of the counter before it goes into the refrigerator or the cabinet or whatever. I'm still doing that a year later. Now, we go out now, and George does go out, but there are people I love and respect who are not going out, and we're still throwing away vaccines. Gwendolyn, I'm begging you, tell me that I should not throw half of the population of this country into a furnace. I rest my case. Gwendolyn, you run with the topic now.
I saw the numbers on the anti-vax, and I was a little surprised. It's like 30% of the country is saying they absolutely won't get, and that's the ones who will say so. So it's pretty awful. But the thing is, there are people who say they won't get the vaccination and who have said it all along that I know personally who have gone and gotten the vaccinations because they were made available. So yeah, we really do need to do our best, and there is need for it, but, you know, people, how they love a party. they'll build it up again. All I can think yeah. of is that line from Holy Moses about Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, Sodom and their dogs are down. It's like Aunt Yoshabel saying, oh, you know, people, oh, they love a party. They're building up right next door.
Who's our caller? Do we still have a caller?
We have two callers. I'm opening up, and I bet that's Wayne. And then we have one down below, and I'm opening both mics up. So welcome, callers.
Right. Wayne, are you there?
Hello, Sybil. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
And who's our other caller? Is it Pamela?
No, it's Kim.
Kim, how are you?
Hi, Kim.
Folks
at
home.
I'm just listening. I just got home.
No. We want your opinion because you're a medical professional. So you're actually someone who's a medical professional. I want to just introduce my home audience. Folks, the show is like 2 years old now, and we've begun to drift into the What's My Line phase of our show. For those of you that don't know what that is, Google What's My Line, or To Tell the Truth. You can do any one of them. Or I've Got a Secret. You can Google all of those names of old game shows that were on TV, but I prefer What's My Line. Kim Young and Wayne Johnson are both regulars. They both listen into the show, and they often call in, and we adore having them call in. I just mentioned that the statistic today, which was so startling, was, and Gwendolyn backed it up, she said that she had heard it was 30% of America is not getting the vaccination. But in fact, depending on who you hear, it's higher than that. There's actually like 40 or more percent are not going to get that vaccination. And so consequently, everyone has surrendered reluctantly, even Anthony Fauci, to the fact that we will not in this country reach herd immunity, which is very disturbing because it means the virus can mutate or whatever, and it can spread and it can evolve. And then it would be troublesome for the four of us, because all four of us have been vaccinated. I want to go to Kim first and then to Wayne. So, Kim, you want to weigh in on this as a medical professional? Are you disappointed that we're not going to get herd immunity in the most advanced country in the world?
I'm extremely disappointed. And I'm really, you know me, I'm an optimist. I'm hoping that people will change their mind as it gets, as time goes on a little bit. I'm super disappointed. It is ridiculous that we could be such a great country on so many levels, not just the vaccine, just on so many levels. It just is so just depressing in itself.
Well, I'm especially disappointed for you because you are one of the people, and I have raved about your kind of person now for a year. You're someone who risks your life going into work and dealing with the world of care through this disaster, this national, international disaster. You continue to work. How many people camped out in their homes and just said, well, I'm not going to go to work? From you and brain surgeons and doctors and all the way down, and I shouldn't say down, all the way across to garbage men and postal workers. And think of it. Think of
grocery
the number.
Store.
Think of grocery store workers think of the drivers that brought groceries to stores, people who stocked the shelves. These people, everyone, those people are the ones that we banked pots and pans for in New York City out of our windows. I showed Tourette's of it constantly at 7 p.m. on each time zone. We went to our windows and clapped and banged and hooted and hollered and whistled and blew horns. For you people, 60 seconds, we would blow horns and make noise to let people like you know that we were grateful that you were risking your lives, and thousands of you died. Thousands of you died taking care of other people, doing things that were risky. You did it, policemen, firemen, everyone. We could not have survived without garbage men, nurses, doctors, all of you. And it is inexcusable that there are people who are proudly saying, I ain't going to get a shot because Thomas Jefferson told me I didn't have to. It's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm stunned.
Well, they're making
stunned.
It a partisan issue, and that makes me angry in itself. They're dividing it that way. Like, you can't tell me what I have to do. Good grief. Can we not do things for the greater good anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Can we, and by the way, can we not, because there are people on the right that will say, well, it's your idea of greater good. Okay, so Kim was wrong. She shouldn't have said for the greater good, because that's just too complex a notion for you to grasp. You know, people are, the Titanic is sinking, and you're just saying, I don't have to. Okay, so Kim was dead wrong. Can we not do things that are counterintuitive? Can we not do things based on can we ignore superstition? Can we cure our illnesses without shaking a dried gourd around a campfire in a cave? Like, at what point are we going to say, how lucky we are to be in the 21st century with 200 years of people exploring science now, exploring things like germs were not caused by bad gas in the air or evil spirits? Can we take all the millions of people who suffered and died and all the people who worked to figure out that there were germs, that things were you could see them in a microscope, and that you could do a vaccination? You know, think of the breakthroughs slowly, horribly earned, the terrible price in human and animal suffering, all suffering, to get us to this point so that people can stamp their fucking feet and say, the earth is flat. I'm telling you, I know the earth is flat because my president told me that. It's like, it's unforgivable. It's just as infuriating. So, Wayne, what do you think? No, Kim, go.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim.
Well, I have two things to say. I'd like to know the percentage of people, of those 30 or 40% that don't want to take it, what they're basing it on is anything besides social media. And I'd also like to ask those same people, I mean, generations before us, nobody questioned the polio vaccine. What if 30 or 40% of people hadn't taken the polio vaccine? How would the world be different now? I would like to pose both of those questions to those people that are opposed to it.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, to me, it's the same thing. I just want to say this in answer to that. It's the same thing as the people who walk into a Walmart and put up a physical fight about wearing a mask. And they're allowed to walk around, they say, and they're allowed to breathe the air and do what they want, and they can stand as close as they want to, and they can spit on a salesperson, right? It's like, well, still trying to do that on a jet at Delta Airlines? Are you still trying to smoke a cigarette in the bathroom in Delta Airlines? Because, I mean, this is old news. This is old news. I bartended and managed a nightclub back at a time when people smoked. I used to go home after my shift. I would not walk through my home. I would walk directly into the bathroom. I would turn on the water on the shower, get it hot, and step into the shower with all my clothes on. So that my clothes, and it looked like Janet Leigh had been murdered, the smoke in my clothes and my hair would be a swirl of black down the drain out of my clothes. Isn't that shocking? And I would blow my nose, not to be gross, after I had steamed and washed, I would blow my nose and black would come out of my nose. Soot snot would come out of my nose. And it's like, that's how we lived. But we know now that we're not allowed to smoke in a bar, and we're not allowed to smoke on a jet. And on those rare occasions when someone does try to smoke on a jet, they are hauled, hopefully rather violently. I hope they're banged around a little bit and down the jetway by, you know, security, and that they should be banged around. Well, this is where we are right now with vaccinations. It's ridiculous. So anyway,
I'm old enough to know, remember when doctors and nurses could still smoke in the hospital at the nurse's station and in the doctor's
station. Yes, they could. I remember that. As a little kid.
It was good etiquette if a doctor had a smoking patient for him to offer him a smoke while he was in doing his
job. Before we get Wayne, I haven't forgotten you, but I just apropos of that, my first job in New York City was at New York Hospital, and I was the ward manager on the cardiac care unit at New York Hospital, Cornell. And there was the nurses, the doctor's lounge on the cardiac care unit. On the cardiac care unit, the people would smoke in there, and the nurses and doctors would smoke in there. And I remember that Bob Fosse was one of our patients, because New York Hospital was the hospital. I mean, even more than Columbia Presbyterian was up in Harlem, as wonderful as it was, no one was going there. Mount Sinai was up in East Harlem. No one was going to go there. You went to the Upper East Side, and New York Hospital was attached to Cornell, and it was attached to the Albert Einstein University right there. So everyone, Shav Aran was one of our patients, and all these different people. Bob Fosse was one of our patients, and he had a private room on the cardiac care unit, and he wrote about it in All That Jazz, the movie All That Jazz. I walked in there one day, and he was smoking in bed with the oxygen tanks around, and we still had oxygen tanks. We didn't have it wasn't coming out of the wall, and it was like I walked in there, and I was like, oh my God, and I was young. So I wasn't as oomphy as I am now. So I immediately excused myself with my chart. By the way, there were no computers. This was all paper. And I went to the nurse's station, and I said, you've got to get in there. Bob Fosse is smoking a cigarette in bed, and he's here for a quadruple bypass, which, by the way, was like sending a patient to the moon back then. A quadruple bypass was considered to be the most sophisticated surgery you could have to do that, to open a person up. So, and they went in there and they said, Mr. Fosse, and he had a tantrum. Oh, he had a complete meltdown, a tantrum. I'm allowed to smoke. I know who I am. I'm Bob Fosse. I am Robert Fosse. It was like, oh, my God. So it's just the world we live in is just hysterical. So you're right, Kim. You're right. Wayne, I interrupted you, but you weigh in on this whole thing because this is – I can't wait to hear what you say about this.
Well, you know, I have some pretty eclectic relatives on my wife's side. Very much Trumpsters. Anything that Sean Hannity says or Fox News, it's got to be gospel fact. A couple weeks ago, my wife's mother passed away, and we were all there at the funeral. And I was talking with Carol has two brothers, and I was talking with them. And I said something about, you know, it's a good thing that we're wearing our masks and everything, and all this, and. Anyway, when one of them spoke up and says, well, I'm not wearing that goddamn mandated mask. I just looked at him like he was fucking nuts because he didn't have a mask on. Well, guess what? Guess who has COVID-19 now?
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like, you know, I looked at him like, that was the dumbest thing. And this was a college-educated person.
Is he in the hospital or is he just weathering it at home?
He's weathering it. I think he's being treated with his symptoms and stuff. He hasn't had to go to the hospital to be induced with oxygen. But it's like, you know, you dumbass, you got the weak form of it. What if you had gotten the new improved evolutionary morphing of the COVID-19, right? And it could mean your death. He's in his 70s.
Does he have children?
Yeah, he has three
daughters. Does he have children, Wayne?
One of them has her master's in nursing at Johns Hopkins.
And what does she think?
She thinks she's fucking nuts.
So she thinks her own father's an idiot.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it's like, well, that's dad. Okay, you know, say goodbye to him. You know?
Is she sorry at all?
No. See, that's just it.
Oh, so see, wait a minute. So he, because let's savor this for a minute. So he
is sick,
but he's not sick enough, sadly, I'm sorry,
to be sorry. Yeah, right. I'm right here with you.
But there's no introspection. There's no contrition. There's no, wow, I'm stupid. I got sick with something because I did. There's none of that.
You know, you can have an intervention.
Is that correct?
Yes. No, you are nailing it.
So in other words, it would take him being on a respirator or in agony for him to maybe say, oh dear God, I really made a mistake here.
These people
are
at
saying?
The point of the religious fanatics. They need to be like a Mooney. They need to be deprogrammed. An intervention wouldn't work. That would just go right over their head and you didn't know what the hell you were talking about. They really need to be isolated and go through mind control deprogramming, because they've had 30, knocking on close to 40 years of Rush Limbaugh, Fox programming, Rush, you know, right on down the line. Matter of fact, one of the sister-in-laws, married to one of these men, was a QAnon supporter.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, hey, I wanted to go through all of you, let you all get the fuck out of here, you know, just die, do the world a favor, you know, and cancel out your votes. So, that's you know, and I, you know, I hate to wish that kind of harm and ill bidding to family members, but they're a waste of space.
Well, I'm going through the same thing. My brother is – I haven't spoken to my brother in 30 years, and he was a Sarah Palin groupie ages ago, and there was no QAnon at that point, but he was already – my sister and I were horrified as he drifted farther and farther rightward into fanaticism, and finally his own daughters decided that they did not want to share his last name with him anymore on Facebook. So it just – is someone doing their dishes? What's going on?
No, it's ice cubes breaking in the background.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, and
what
if
I was going to
say – if I may, Sybil
I mean, you gotta have a drink. I mean, you just gotta have a drink.
Yes, you need a piece of whiskey. You gotta have a piece of whiskey with this topic right now.
Yes,
you're right.
I have a daughter that's 26 years old, does not go anywhere. She just hibernates up into her little, you know, big girl apartment and goes to work. And, you know, there on the Eastern Shore, the peninsula, you know, just south of Philadelphia, the Delmarva Peninsula.
Right.
Basically, it is all low educational. They're all conservative because that's what Fox News told them they need to be and how to be conservative.
Right.
And she's there at work. She's a trucking brokerage. So she's on the phone. And when they're on the phone, they take their mask off. Well, of course, others there who work there, you know, it's all just fake news and stuff, and they're running around and partying and getting exposed. Dorchester County, Cambridge, Maryland, that's where Harriet Tubman escaped from to start the Underground Railroad. They're just running around without masks and have been since Trump told them it was all fake news. It was just the liberal trying to steal the election from them, you know, over a year ago, and they're still going, well, like I said, this kid doesn't go anywhere, and long story short is, because when she took her mask off to talk on the phone, she got exposed from those who were also had their mask off but had brought it into work.
Yeah.
She was in the hospital 3 times to get pumped with oxygen overnight.
Wow.
Needless to say, her daddy was ready to go berserk, you know, and medieval on people's asses that wanted to refuse and deny it.
Right. Well, it shows that we all have to be careful, even the people on, you know, who believe in it. We have to sterilize the mouthpiece on a, you know, you take a Clorox wipe and sterilize the mouthpiece and wash our hands and sterilize the telephone handset. And still wear a mask even when you're on the phone, maybe if you're using a public phone. I mean, there are precautions, and I'm not a germaphobe, but there are precautions that we still have to do because what can I tell you? I'm very sorry
to
hear that.
My wife's in the medical field, and let me tell you, she was the queen of Lysol. I have stocked increase on Lysol here in the condo, and she made sure she would put some out. In the vestibule of the condo here, there's 3 floors and stuff. And it's like, please take it. Wipe down the handrail as you're going in and out, you know, stuff. She was very much a proponent of let's all get through this, but let's all take the precautions to get us all through this.
When I go into Wegman shopping, they have the little Santa wipe dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
It's the stainless steel Santa wipe thing. And before I touch a cart, I pull out 2 of those Santa wipes, and I put them in my palms, and then I take a hold of the cart, and I slide my hands back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until that handle is soaking wet.
Here.
And then I use those Santa wipes as my grips. So already the handle is sterile, but I've still got the Santa wipes in my hands, using them as grips. And I use them until by the time I get to the fresh produce area or something, because as I've joked, my Wegmans is the size of Rhode Island. So once I've commuted 2 hours to the fresh produce, I take ramp 13 to highway 7 past fresh produce, ground turkey. Mm-hmm. I eventually get to the fresh produce area, which is in Providence, Rhode Island. And, you know, and by that time, the hand wipes are dry. And, you know, I tuck them in the garbage. But the handle has basically been sterile. And, of course, I'm picking packets off the shelves or cans or whatever. But, I mean, I do not put my hands in my eyes. I don't, you know, pick my teeth. And when I get home, I wipe everything down. And we're just observing sterile procedure. My wonderful friend, Anantha, who's from India, and he's an executive at Pfizer, who got me my vaccination when I couldn't get it through PenMed. And he was wonderful. He's a next door neighbor. He came over and gave me the link to call to get a vaccine when George and I were being run around for ages a month and a half ago. He believes, this is very interesting, he and his wife Vidya believe that people our age, older people, over 40 and older, will perhaps wear masks for a very long time, even when the danger is gone. That we're almost imprinted now to feel that social distancing, that mask wearing, precautions about washing your hands properly, that this may stay as a cultural thing. And he and I were joking with Vidya, his wife, and a couple of other neighbors in the front yard when we were all like out in our driveways, you know, in these attached townhouses. We were all joking that we were all going to become Koreans, that we would all live as Koreans now, because back in the 70s, specifically the Koreans, but the Asians in general, would be wearing masks. And of course, as Caucasian Americans and Black Americans, as Native Americans, or Americans that were not Native Americans, but you know what I'm saying, we would all say, why are those people always wearing masks? And of course, they were doing it because their air pollution was so bad that they were, you know, paranoid about germs and pollution. That now we may be imprinted. We are the new 21st century Koreans now, and that we may actually continue to do this long after it's safe enough not to. It's an interesting premise, you know, to think about. India, coincidentally, Anantha was flabbergasted to hear that we were not going to reach herd immunity, as India loses millions of people
to
COVID.
It's like 300,000 a day.
Yeah, exactly. And they are having open air cremations now. They're having group cremations because the crematoriums can't keep up with the traffic. So now they're just incinerating bodies now. And they're doing anything they have to because it's become such a grave situation. Yet the United States continues to throw away millions of dosages of this vaccine. It's shocking. I want to get to one thing. I opened this about saying bad news, good news, good news, bad news. And I want to open real quickly in this last thing, good news. My pal and producer, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry, said a few weeks ago, she said, yes, during this time with all of this and the challenges and the COVID plague and this sort of thing, there are good things that come out of this, and that during turmoil like this, the universe writes itself and straightens itself out. And she said specifically this, and we chuckled darkly about it. There sometimes is a terrible price to pay for these advances that nature and the universe and the human race and the world in general, sometimes there is great loss and upheaval even as things move forward. And I suppose, and I'm going to be, you know, people are going to be like, Sybil Brunson is a Nazi. I'm going to say that if people are so unwilling to reach herd immunity, and if people are so unwilling to embrace science and safety and concern for themselves and each other, then perhaps Mother Nature, in her cruel and unsentimental wisdom, will choose to, shall we say, move those people on to a different experience. That those people who are not willing to get vaccinated, perhaps they will be the culled herd. We won't reach herd immunity,
right,
but the herd will be culled, C-U-L-L-E-D, yeah, for those of you that don't know what that means. And that,
yeah,
this is nature's way of saying, oh, you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The species can't afford to continue to enable you. It's,
yeah,
like,
that's
nature,
right,
is rough.
Time to leave the
a herd of antelope is running and one is slow. The lion takes,
mm-hmm,
the slow one. The lion takes the one that's limping. And you know what? The lion takes the sickly one. And maybe that's what's going to happen. The lion is going to take the sickly one. And that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
I have another story. There was one guy. He was older than I was, but I grew up in a little town from the age of 14 on, in a little town called Fettlesburg, Maryland. It's, again, right in the middle of the peninsula. And he has been a racist his whole life. And I guess he's like 7 years older than I am. I'm definitely a big Trump supporter. Oh, he would just want to get in your face because you didn't support Trump. Well, he and some others rented a limousine, rode up to the Capitol on January the 6th so they could watch and listen to the moving speech of taking our country back kind of bullshit. Well, long story short, he's in the hospital, Eastern Memorial Hospital, because he got COVID. He gave it to his wife. She got out, but he's still in there because he has blood clots in his legs and in his lungs.
Oh, dear.
And I am doing the witch doctor dance saying, take that son of a bitch away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, and the thing is, I hope he's suffering like the biggest son of a bitch that he is.
Well, yes, my heartbreak is that people like him who,
yes,
are so brave and who sacrificed so much of their own personal safety and their family's safety to work and to continue to function through this warlike situation, a medical war,
yes,
you know, where you went to the front lines, you climbed into the ditches and you waded through the blood and the shit of this whole medical battlefield, that they were endangered and so many of them, you know, fell during this. And it just, that's where my lack of empathy for your brother-in-law and that
mm-hmm.
guy
and
all of the others. It's like, I'm just wishing that Mother Nature would just sort of cull the herd carefully. But of course it's unsympathetic. It's unempathetic. It's unsentimental.
Say.
So it's just, who goes. But
right.
It's,
like I said,
it's only fair that this
was suffered because of their stupidity.
Right. I only hope that more of them pay than the innocent pay. I'm hoping that,
yeah,
it's the tally is higher among them, and that there is contrition, there is hand wringing, there is breast beating, there is garment tearing, and there is hair tearing, and people do, you know, rock back and forth on their knees in their front yards, howling over the loss of their child, their parent, their best friend, their spouse, themselves, you know, and it's just, that's the way it goes. Anyway, we're running out of time. I just, I'm sorry that we had to pursue that as opposed to recipes or gardening stuff. Does anyone have any quick one-liner? Let's do a fast round.
Okay.
Good news. Anything that's good. Kim, you go first. Tell us something that made you absolutely happy this week.
I had some solitary bees emerge from their cocoons.
Yes, you did. Tell quickly the people that don't know what you're talking about.
Well, they've been hibernating all winter, and they have to chew their little selves out, and then they'll live for about 6 weeks, just enough time to procreate and die off and leave the next generation behind.
Okay, and this is the bees. Tell them what kind of bees these are so that we can, that people can know about this and look it up.
Solitary bees, and they're, these particular ones are mason bees for the spring. Yes, so they're not a colony
Great.
Bee, they're a solitary bee.
Okay. Right, they don't form a beehive. They're solitary bees. Look it up online. You can get your own little tiny bees nest thing. It's fabulous, and it does help the environment. It's wonderful, and it's very safe, and you don't have to worry about being stung or anything like that. That is good news.
No, they're very friendly.
They're very friendly. That's good. By the way, I was out in my garden today, and two bees were determined to climb on me and be with me for some reason while I was doing different things, and they continued to buzz around me, and I didn't do anything different. I wasn't wearing anything or doing anything that was different. They just were determined, and one of my neighbors was so frightened for me, and I said, no, this is wonderful. They do that all the time, and they land on me and crawl on me, and they're trying to taste me or figure out what exactly, and they accompanied me for about 20 minutes, and then they finally flew off, and it was just, I was planting stuff, and then I was sitting on my porch, and they were just all over me. Anyway, Wayne Short, what's good news this week?
Well, this past Saturday, we had the first opening of our sailboat races here in Annapolis. It was a beautiful day. There was a beautiful, strong wind behind it. And the bay, right around the Chesapeake Bay Bridge here in Annapolis, was just in full bloom with mainsails and jibs and spinnakers tacking back and forth as they were challenging
Lovely.
Each other, trying to go through a course as quick as they can. It was gorgeous.
Lovely. That's lovely. That is just like,
sounds
like an impressionist painting. I can just see that like the American impressionist painters, you know, that did sailboat paintings of the 1840s and 50s and 60s. It sounds lovely.
Very well stated. I like that. You're absolutely right. That does explain it very well right there.
Gwendolyn, what's good news? The short, wonderful thing that made you happy this week.
Well, I had my 30th anniversary of being in business or following my path. And
congratulations
today,
on that again, yeah.
And today I had the biggest payday I've ever had.
Good job.
What?
Yeah.
I am so happy for you, huh?
It was a remarkable day.
Wait a minute, your 30th anniversary and happened to be your biggest payday?
Well, 2 days after it, yeah.
Gwendolyn, that is wonderful news. That is wonderful, wonderful news. Gwendolyn, congratulations.
Thank you. That's like
it couldn't happen
universe.
To a better person.
The universe telling me I'm doing the right job, you know.
Yes, you are. Yes.
That's always just wonderful. Thank you, everybody. I'm a happy camper.
Doing what you love and actually being prosperous is lovely. It's so rare to do what you love and to be rewarded for it, to be able to buy some groceries. It's a wonderful thing. Listen, we're running out of time. You've been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, home audience. We're part of the Here Be Monsters Studios on Blog Talk Radio Network. We're here every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Do check and check in with us. We've been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, and by listeners just like you. You can join us next week again on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time again. And you can also find us on SybilSez.com. That's SybilSez.com, SybilBrunchen.com, and on Facebook at the Lollipop Guild, Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild. Do come and visit us there. Join. The membership is free. And you can find me on my YouTube channel, Instagram, Twitter, and in any alleyway having a boozy drink with friends. I just want to close by thanking my call-in panel tonight. Wayne and Kimberly, thank you so much for calling in and being part of our family here.
It's our pleasure.
And Gwendolyn, thank you for producing this show every week now. We're going on our third year. We will see you next Monday night right here on Come Now, Don't Sulk. Good night, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Good night, all.
Good night.